This clip has everything an unbelievable clip should have, Kurt. It has just curiosity of the human spirit,
yes.
The outrageousness of a real story,
yes.
Really great names in very great circumstances.
Banger names.
And Kurt saying something along the lines of, well, my rural brain.
And you got two different Southern accents in there from me.
Yeah, no.
So,
I mean,
wow, that's also quintessential.
It's got everything you could ever want from a story in this podcast, Kurt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Unbelievable. I am some idiot who owns a microphone, Kurt Danner, joined here by seasoned broadcasting veteran Luis Mejia.
Hello.
And today, it is a special day. Luis, why is it a special day?
Kurt, I don't know if you've looked at a calendar recently, but I believe this podcast that you and I share has now turned a single year. We're 1 year old.
We're 1 year old.
Or in newborn terms, we're 12 months old. Because somehow they refuse to say years. But yes, we made it, Kurt. This podcast officially started February 7th of 2022. And, well, it's been a year now. It's crazy. It's 2023 and we're still the same idiots.
Not much has changed. But also, as I mentioned to you only a few days ago, because you hadn't realized that the days aligned, this is the 1 year mark of our podcast. But 2 years ago was the first time that we ever did a broadcast together.
That's true.
On a school radio station that you had.
That is true. I was once the host of a two-hour radio program every week on our college radio station. It was the Modern Mexican. We played exclusively Mexican music. And there was one day when I had an epiphany with Kurt, and I realized mariachi music is just country music with a little bit more trumpet. And I invited Kurt to have a mariachi country kind of radio show. And that was 2 years ago already. So who would have thought that us joining together in microphone and music would lead to us a couple years down the line spreading misinformation on the internet through this podcast, Kurt.
Yeah, that's pretty wild to think about, because when we did that, we didn't have any idea of starting a podcast. That was not a thought in our minds at all. But I only realized that the dates aligned because I found a picture from that. So we'll post that on our Instagram so you can see college Kurt and Luis, the beginning of our podcasting journey together. And Luis, what are we doing today to celebrate?
Yes, Kurt. So that all said, we started this 1 year ago, and I think we got together and realized I think it would be a really fun thing to do to see if we have changed in this last year. In this last year of making this podcast every other week, have we gotten better at it? What have we learned from this? And what can we put out into the world? So we have compiled a couple of our favorite moments from the last year of this podcast. 5 favorite moments of mine and 5 favorite moments of Kurt, to a total of top 10 favorite moments of this little humble podcast of ours. And I think we're going to take this journey together to see, have we learned anything, Kurt? And I think I know the answer.
Yes, let's take a little trip down memory lane of the 1 year so far on our journey of this podcast. So, Luis, do you want to start?
Sure, Kurt. So I don't think we're going to go on a terribly specific order, but we do have some clips for us to share with you. So, Kurt, I'm going to send you this clip that I'm going to show you. It's an example of early on in our podcast making history where we still were trying to take this a little too seriously. And it's with this clip that we realized we're kind of idiots, and we have stuck with that theme ever since. Acronyms as defined by the AP Style Guide are those shortenings, initialisms, that you can speak as if they were a real word. So STEM, for example, it's science, technology, the other one, and math, engineering. And yeah, so we noticed very quickly, or at least I did, that we realized I don't know anything about anything. So that was going to be a pattern that would continue. And that was from our very second episode ever, Kurt, which was Alexander the Great's Great Stolen Biography and Typhoid Fever.
Yes.
So very second episode, we're up to a good start there, Kurt.
Yes, which the second episode was the first episode that I hosted. So that was,
exactly.
For me, it's kind of the first episode. But yeah, wow, that was a long time ago. That reminds me also, there was a clip that I found while I was looking through our old episodes where I'm not sure what it was you stumbled on. You're trying to think of the word fisherman, but you're not sure how that fits together, or maybe the plural of it. And you're like, so there's a lot of fish Ermen. Maybe we should have a compilation of like Louis tripping on English or acronyms.
Louis messing up his years of English learning.
Yeah. But I like that you said, you know, that this is, we're kind of trying to look at what if anything we have learned over time. And this is our starting point, is like, at least we have the baseline for Louis. He knew nothing when he started the podcast. Can we determine if Louis Mejia knows nothing currently, or has he learned something?
That's yet to be determined to this day.
Is the head still empty? Okay, Luis, I have a clip I want to share with you. This one doesn't need a lot of introduction, but I do want to say that it has one of our favorite things in it, which is getting way too hung up on how fun a name is.
Okay.
That's where the trouble starts, okay?
All right. We're going to be focusing on a man named Dusan Popov.
Ooh, okay?
P-O-P-O-V. Dusan Popov, also known as Dusko or Dusko. Dusko Popov.
Dusko Popov. Hang on a second.
Dusko Popov.
Tell me now, Luis, are you capable of coming up with Dusko Popov? Because I need to know if that's something that you could have pulled out or not.
Kurt, I have thanked you before for congratulating me on names, so don't discard it.
A true magician never reveals his secrets, huh?
Exactly, or his fake names.
All right, Dusko Popov.
Dusko Popov. I didn't think this was a funny name until you bringing it up now, Kurt. Dusko Popov was a man of, how would you say this, of general attractiveness and physical attractiveness.
Ooh.
Okay.
Oh.
He got the reputation when he was in Belgrade starting university of frequenting different cafes, frequenting different nightclubs, and gained the reputation of being a bit of a ladies' man, Kurt.
Ooh.
He loved the ladies. He was sensual.
Dusko's on the prowl.
He conducted himself in some records in a loose, ooh, easy manner.
And a loose, easy manner. Put that on Luis's tombstone. Conducted himself in a loose, easy manner.
Oh, man. God. See, like I mentioned in that clip, Kurt, I did not think that name was funny because I was just reading it this whole time.
Uh-huh.
And then I started speaking it, and I don't know. Something about Dusko, Kurt. Something about
Dusko.
Something
just feels right about Dusko Popov.
Yes.
And I didn't even know that he was, because he goes on to be, he's the inspiration for James Bond.
Yes.
That is from The Lieutenant of Bullfighting and The Double Agent of Sex Appeal.
That is the one.
Yes.
That's good. Yeah, see, Kurt, that's one of the most fun things about this podcast, is having to come up with creative ways to sound believable.
Mm-hmm.
And names is always something I know we both get a kick out of, is coming up with names and figuring out if names are real or not. We don't even doubt it anymore. Like, every single name we say might be made up despite it being real, and we're fully okay with it. Like, it's never become a point of contention anymore.
Yeah, well, because I think that, like, one of the things we've really learned is that almost no matter how crazy of an idea or thing you could come up with, like, there's something out there that's true that's weirder than that. You know, history is going to be weirder than whatever you can come up with. And I think that names are the smallest example of that, where, you know, you could give someone any name and someone would be like, there's no way they had that name, but also, like, it's possible. I mean, yeah. Dusko Popov, that sounds like it's out of a comic book, but, like, it's possible.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's just no point in even considering names anymore, because it's just like Dusko. Yeah, sure, Dusko Popov. Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Exactly,
why not.
Well, Kurt, moving right along, you know, one of the things that has been pretty constant in our podcast history, Kurt, and just our friendship, I think, is you telling me to calm down, or you telling me I need to take a sit. Basically, you telling me don't be as silly as you are. I think we've taken up a father-son dynamic, you and me, where I'm typically the son getting scolded for something he did. So
it doesn't have to be like that, Luis, okay?
I know, but I get myself into that situation. So then this next clip is one of the first times that we started having this dynamic, Kurt. And let's just hear the clip. I know that maybe this is a little gross, and I apologize, but I still have butt on my mind from last episode, Kurt.
Yeah, no, you know what? Actually, everyone who's listening right now, just talk amongst yourselves for a second. Luis and I have to have a private conversation. Hey, Luis, come here.
What's up, Kurt? A lot
of butt stuff. There's all these butt themes going on recently, you know?
Yeah.
And I worry we're going to become like the butt history podcast. I think that's what you're doing to us, Luis. You're making us the butt podcast.
That's true, Kurt. What's going on?
Is this a this a cry for help? Is it for attention?
I don't know, Curtis. I've just been really stressed lately. Started a new job, and I don't know. I think now that spring is here, and I'm having to turn the clocks back, and the U.S. has reached daylight savings times, but Mexico hasn't. I don't know. I'm just all over the place.
I get it. You feel the need for a sense of control, and that's why you're doing this. But you need to get it together because you are replaceable. Okay. Everyone, hey, we're back. Hey,
to be here. Unbelievable.
Lots of laughs on this podcast here. We're having a good time. All right.
That was just a little inside look at showbiz. Okay, sorry, yeah. You fine folks had to see that.
It really, yeah, seriously. You know, and these are conversations that are happening constantly in our day to day lives with Kurt and I. We just don't typically show it to an audience, but this time we had to say the quiet part out loud. Sometimes
that's true. We really did.
And I think a very special detail of this clip, Kurt, is that this was one of the episodes where your audio was a little messed up. So
I know.
You can hear me.
I came in so hot just to be the idiot after all.
Yeah, but here's the best part about that, because you can hear me fairly well in comparison to you in that clip. You can almost hear the tears coming out of my eyes. This voice breaking up a little bit, and it's just Papa Kurt scolding me.
And so let's see, the episode before that,
we had just talked about Louis the 14th's butt surgery. So this is from The Seafood Prophet and Jim the Wonder Dog.
Right. But I remember because you had just given me like quite a bit of graphic detail about Louis the 14th's butt surgery. And right. Then your fast fact was also somehow related to butts.
Yes, you're very correct, Kurt. I was talking about how Romans used to clean their bottoms after going to communal bathrooms.
Oh yeah, wow. That had just so much detail in it too.
Well, Kurt, you know, I'm a journalist, so I like to have just detail and then tell the full story.
You like to get to the bottom of it?
Yep.
See, this is why you're the son and I'm the father, Luis. Because I shouldn't have to feed you that line.
Oh, Kurt.
You know what, everybody talk amongst yourselves.
Oh man.
I'm not gonna carry this thing on my back for another year, okay, Luis? Co-host, all right? Not underhost, co, 50%.
Kurt, come on. You know I have hard times sometimes.
Anyway.
Hey guys, we're back.
And we're back.
Sorry, yeah.
Commercial break. Mm-hmm. Thank you to our sponsors. Whose turn was it with the clip?
I believe it's your turn, Kurt.
Okay, this clip I love. It does not need a lot of introduction, except for, Luis, you are talking about one of your favorite things, which is Roman history.
Ah.
Talking about the great general Sextus Pompey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the clip.
Sextus is going around and saying, hey, I was in the side of these other guys, of Brutus and Cassius. I didn't like Caesar. I hate you guys, essentially.
To whom it may concern. I'm pissed.
Exactly. He was based in Philippi, which is now, I guess, Greece. He was leader of like the Aegean Sea and also Sicily. He once that battle took place, he basically said, Sicily is mine. Sorry, Rome. Sicily's mine. And he took over, he took control of Sicily, at one point even cut the grain supply of Italy because Sicily is the main grain supplier of Italy at this point. And he said, sorry, Rome, I hate you guys. No more grain for you. Rome got very pissed, mostly very hungry. Eventually, Octavian was able to form a peace treaty or truce with Pompey, Sextus Pompey, Sexy Pompey. And he said, okay, fine. We will make you like the king of Sicily, essentially, if you give us some grain back.
Yeah, he really hit him where they lived. He went after the pasta supply chain.
He was
holding all the cards there, you know?
And we all know, if you go after the pasta in Italy, you are in trouble.
Watch your back, okay? Or become the king of Sicily.
That's true. Become the king. So essentially, he founded what would later be like the city-state of Sicily just by saying, I'm not giving this back to you. But anyway, people were already pissed. Tensions were already high with Pompey. But hey, Pompey was clear. He was not causing any more damage to Rome, which he could because since he controlled most of Greece and also Sicily, he had a wonderful navy.
Right.
Dare I say, a kick-ass navy. Everything was fine and dandy. Octavian was now like dealing with Mark Antony at this point and Cleopatra, that whole shebang. Mm-hmm. But Pompey said, hey guys, remember the truce we did in Sicily? Not going to do that anymore. and he decided to cut grain again.
He's a real troublemaker.
He is a real troll. I mean, he was the son of Pompey the Great, and Pompey the Great was known to be a real reckless man.
This is, you know, this, it makes me think, I'm a very energetic person. When I was, when I was in elementary school, this got me in trouble a lot because I'm not someone who can focus on busy work for very long. But there were times in elementary school where there would be other kids who were like causing more problems than me. So I learned that it wasn't that I had to behave. I just had to be like the least bad behaving. You know, it's kind of like people say, if you and your friends see a bear, you don't have to be the fastest runner. You just don't have to be the slowest. You know, he had a good deal going. You know, he was a troublemaker, but Rome's got a lot of troublemakers going on.
That's true.
So he was flying under the radar, not being the worst troublemaker. But he said, you know what? Let me step right back into the spotlight.
Let me go back
in. Get everyone's attention. Yeah.
Things are a little bit slow down here in Sicily. Let's spice things up a little bit.
Had to cut off the wheat supply just to feel something, you know?
We've all been there.
Just looking for meaning in his life. You know, he's getting older. His best years are behind him. I don't know what age he is.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you just see the wheat, just all the grain out in the fields of Sicily, and you say, you know what? This is mine at the end of the day.
He bought a new convertible. He's planning a trip to Vegas. And he's like, no, you know what? Let me cut off the wheat production. That'll give my life some meaning.
My God, Kurt. That's fun. That's really, really fun. I like how we just typically, when we make a joke and when we make a bit, particularly when it comes to someone's name, we will stick with it.
Yeah.
Because you hear in the middle of that clip me saying Sextus Pompey, apologizing, and then say, sorry, I meant Sexy Pompey, because we had previously established that was his name.
Yeah. Well, that at least that Sexy Pompey was permissible. Mm-hmm. But, and you know, I know that clip's a little bit long, but I got to tell you, I love that clip so much because, you know, one, I think that I know you love talking about the Roman Empire or just Rome in general. And I think that that's like a story that you probably would have told me outside of this podcast even. Mm-hmm. And when I listen to that clip, I can hear like less that we're making a podcast and more just that it's like back when we lived together and you're just telling me this crazy story about Roman history and I'm reacting to it.
Yeah.
Like it just reminds me, you know, what led to the idea of us starting this, right?
Aww. That's very cute, Kurt. You're going to make me blush. You can't really see it because of my skin color, but I'm blushing right now. And well, this podcast doesn't get terribly sentimental. Let's get a little stupider. Let's just, you know what? No preface to this one. Let's just listen to the next clip.
The mystery of the Mary Celeste was so popular at the time that Arthur Conan Doyle, who, for anyone who doesn't know, is the author of Sherlock Holmes, wrote a short story about it, inspired by it. He changed the name of the boat from the Mary Celeste to the Marie Celeste, and then his short story became so popular that people commonly mistakenly call it the Marie Celeste, or they more frequently will refer to the Marie Celeste.
Interesting. I thought you were going to say that Arthur Conan Doyle saw the story of the Mary Celeste and thought, that's a boring name, I'm going to name it Octopussy.
You know, it is interesting, though, because the what becomes the most widely accepted theory, it's totally like a Sherlock Holmes story, right?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, not Octopussy. That's not Arthur Conan Doyle.
I tried to move past that at least because I knew you didn't understand the reference.
I messed
up,
Kurt.
And now you've gone back to it. I did what I could to help you.
I messed up, Kurt. I'm sorry for our
stop
listeners.
The podcast again for the second
stop
time.
Stop the podcast.
Sometimes, Luis, well, you know, I don't want to correct you and then end up being the idiot, but I'm like, let me just let him go and see if he catches that or not.
Yeah.
We're back to, apparently you have not learned from the fishermen and your STEM acronym thing.
Yeah, I do this really wonderful thing where I talk without speaking, or sorry, without thinking, Kurt.
There it is right there.
Damn. See, it happens. Keeps happening. And you knew there was trouble from the beginning when I pronounced it Arthur Conan Doyle.
Yeah.
That's when we knew we were starting gonna get problems. But I love at the end of that clip when I corrected my mistake and immediately moved on.
Okay, let's get out of here.
I dug myself into this hole. I need to jump out of it real quick.
You know what I have to say, though? And this is like maybe a little Easter egg in the podcast. I don't know if anyone's ever noticed this other than me. So in that clip, I talk about how because of that story, this boat from the story called the Mary Celeste, people mistakenly refer to it as the Marie Celeste. Mm-hmm. And then like later, right after saying that, or maybe it's right before, I myself mistakenly call it the Marie Celeste.
Damn.
And so it's like, I don't remember if it was right before or right after you make the mistake, but I'm like, oh, wow, dodged a bullet on that one.
And you know the best part about that, Curtis, since we fully know that every single time we record this podcast, immediately after a word is said, it's out of my mind.
Yeah.
You may have said Marie Celeste, wouldn't have noticed.
I bet you didn't even remember that clip until you heard it.
No comment, Kurt. let's remind everyone, that one's from the Marie Celeste Mystery and The Last American Hero. So you can go hear both Kurt and I mistake names for about an hour.
And that was also, it sounds like, the second time we used the Stop the Podcast bit.
It's true.
Which I love so much. I mean, it is necessary so frequently, and it's a good segue into one of my favorite Stop the Podcast moments. Here's the clip.
So, Hernan Cortes, you know, regardless of what your thoughts are on him or how history remembers him as fondly or as bad, you know, that's up to you.
Me or the people listening to this? Just the general populace.
I'd rather you not answer that question, Kurt, you know, out of respect for, you know, our friendship.
Oh, come on, Luis. You know I'm a Montezuma boy all the way.
Don't worry, Kurt. I know where your allegiances lie, right?
I have our Mexican flag on the wall. I'm the patriot around here.
Yeah, but whose Mexican flag is that, Kurt? Who did it belong to?
Oh, now it's a bad look because I took it from you.
I mean, I wasn't going to say it.
Somebody cut this out and edit it. Stop the podcast.
From the very beginning of that clip, Kurt, from the outset, when I said, regardless of what you think of Hernan Cortes, I knew you were sweating in your seat. I knew you started to tremble and think, oh, God.
Terror. I like that you can hear my microphone peaking when I say stop the podcast. That's anguish in a man's voice right there.
It's trying to get out of that situation that I purposely put you on, Kurt. You know, I think we've noticed that one of our big things we want to do with this podcast is find ways to cancel each other or say things on this podcast that could potentially be taken out of context. And I like that.
We like went to the store and bought a rake and then like put it on the ground in front of our feet and keep trying to step on it repeatedly.
Yeah, seriously. And Stop the Podcast is our way of picking up the rake.
Yeah, please get us out of here.
So that we remember, Kurt, what episode is that from?
That is from Tears in Tenochtitlan and the Mesoamerican Samurai. Speaking of you talking about things you love, that one is the quintessential Luis Mejia Mexican history episode.
Yeah, it's a classic one. If you ever want to hear me geek out about Mexico or Rome.
Gives quotes such as getting the band back together to go stab the Spanish in the back.
And that's a common thread that we like to pull in this podcast.
And we live by that.
Basically. Oh, man. All right, Kurt. Well, one more thing. I have a couple more clips to show you. But this next one, you know, sometimes with us telling some of these unbelievable trademark registered stories, we get very curious because there's just some incredible things happening around history that the more we try to look into them, the more questions we have.
True.
And we have to just eventually draw the line somewhere and just say, just trust me here. we talked not too long ago in one of these episodes where we say that the name of this podcast should be Anecdotal Evidence, Just Trust Me.
Well,
I'm being earnest right now, you know?
And dude, my friend's older brother told me that, so, like, he knows.
Yeah, my dad works at Nintendo. He told me this. But basically, this next clip is not too long, but it's a clip that really shows us our frustration in trying to get the whole story out there. So,
oh boy,
here's a clip. Here's my question. Does this man just have an oversupply of woolen mittens just lying around? And he says, I have to get rid of them somehow, and I cannot find a market for them here in Massachusetts. I have a frankly ridiculous amount of woolen mittens lying at home, and my wife's going to kill me if I don't sell them soon.
You're asking me questions, you know? When I have clearly told you no one can comprehend this man's goals, not even himself. So I don't know what kind of answers you want, Luis.
I'm asking questions more for my own sake, Kurt, right now. I'm trying to make me understand.
I'm not justifying this man's business decisions, okay? Okay, I'm along for the ride just as you are, all right?
Hanging on for dear life.
Yeah. you can really hear in my voice, like that's not me playing it up. That's really how confused I was myself by the facts of that story.
Yeah. That was from the Whalebone Baron and the CEO of Motorboating, Kurt. And that story ended up being a true story. So knowing that that's the true story makes this clip a little funnier because you're not making anything up.
Yeah.
And you're also getting angry and defensive about it's like, hey man, don't shoot the messenger, you know.
Yeah, it was a story that just, I don't know, it really just stuck with me for a while because this guy did everything wrong. I mean, it should have all gone wrong, but everything he did worked out for him. Like, he was some sort of time traveler genius, or he was just the luckiest man to ever live, and somehow I'd never heard of him. So it was just mm-hmm. I mean, you were asking me like, how is this possible? And I'm like, look, I have the same questions, okay? Mm-hmm. If I find the answers, you'll know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But it is tough sometimes. When I'm sure you go through this too. When I find a really cool story for this podcast, I have to kind of not show how much in awe I am of it when I tell it to you, because I don't want to make it clear like, yeah, that this, I mean, it shows maybe that it's more likely to be the true story if I'm also talking about like, yeah, this is super bizarre, I can't believe that I found this. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, I think this clip also shows me, and I'm going to pull the curtain a little bit and take a peek behind it. We're not historians, Kurt nor I. We just like this. It's a fun little hobby. We're not going to do more research than we need to. You know? So I think this is a good example of me trying to poke deeper questions to say, hey man, just enjoy it, okay? don't get hung up on this.
Speaking of not getting hung up and just enjoying it,
yeah,
I'm gonna be completely honest with you, I don't remember what this next clip is. I know it's from the Kentucky Meat Shower because I titled it Meat Rain.
Okay,
but I guess let's you and I and the audience all enjoy it.
Oh,
completely with no intro.
I guess so.
Here's the clip.
So people naturally are curious people. Okay.
Well, I would be too if it was raining ground beef.
Right, exactly. But now you're thinking, what kind of beef was it? This is what everyone was thinking. What is raining from the sky? A local butcher from the town nearby, from the nearby city of Mount Sterling, was named L.C. Frizz.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
Who
Good.
Gathered these chunks of meat and says, I'll try them.
Yes. I'll tell you something, Luis. If you gave me a list of names and said one of these people ate the meat that fell from the sky, one of them was L.C. Frizz, no hesitation, that's your guy.
No
I'll
hesitation.
Tell you, he's the man for the job.
And you know what? He's a butcher, so he's the best person to taste the meat falling from the sky.
It's
He'll
true.
Tell you what cuts he can make with that. He'll sell you the meat falling from the sky. So he tried it. He spits it out after chewing a little bit and says, it's kind of a milky, watery fluid that oozed out of it. And it interestingly had the taste of mutton or venison.
What?
Okay. That man tries it. The butcher says, okay, it was weird. I spit it out. Didn't like it. Another person, a merchant also of this nearby town.
Oh, no. Don't. After L.C. Frizz bailed out, you don't want to go there, dude.
Well, Joe Jordan, the name of this
Never
merchant,
mind.
Also,
never mind. Joe Jordan, go. Go, dude. Go. Eat it. You're good. You're good. You're good.
He tried it also and swore it was bear meat.
Oh.
Okay. Which.
Let's. Now, can we have some expansion on this thought, Joe Jordan?
No. Not yet, Kurt, because another person was urged to try this meat. A man named Jimmy Welsh, who was a railroad worker in a nearby town, was also, he said, I'm going to try
Joe
this meat.
Joe Jordan said, it's raining bears. And they were like, the townspeople were like, we would like a second opinion.
So this person, Jimmy Welsh, is given a plate of the meat and he starts to back out of it and says, I'm not going to eat it.
By the way, I won't derail again, but Jimmy Welsh, good name also. Jimmy Welsh, also go ahead.
Thank you.
Eat the meat. Jimmy Welsh can.
Eat the meat. He agreed to do it for money, for a dollar.
Yes, Jimmy Welsh.
Like,
yes, Jimmy Welsh. And only a dollar.
And he actually started trying to say, no, wait, hold on. Give me some sides and some whiskey so I can gobble
yes,
this down better.
Jimmy.
And when he was about to eat it, he said, actually, raise it to $3.
Oh, man.
And when
see, this guy, grind set. He's the
And when he
mogul.
Finally when he finally was about to eat it, he said, oh, it's Lent. I can't eat it.
Oh,
anyway,
Jimmy.
This is all just giving you context because my favorite thing is that they're trying to decipher what kind of meat it is rather than why on earth did it fall from the sky. Okay. Their first question on their mind is, okay, it's falling meat. What do we got? What are we working here? What are we working with here? Right? Like what do we have here is what the people think.
You know, it's funny. Right? It makes sense to me because I can just picture like in a smaller rural environment setting that like this could happen where when something strange starts happening, you would just get sidetracked on this whole other thing of like, well, Jimmy Wells said he'd eat it for $2. And we're like doing that. We completely forgot. Why is it raining meat?
You know, I think this clip has everything an unbelievable clip should have, Kurt. It has just curiosity of the human spirit.
Yes.
The outrageousness of a real story.
Yes.
Really great names in very great circumstances.
Banger names.
And Kurt saying something along the lines of, well, my rural brain.
And you got two different Southern accents in there from me.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
So,
I mean,
wow. That's also quintessential.
It's got everything you could ever want from a story in this podcast, Kurt. I love it.
Yeah, no, that is I really love that clip. That is from the Ethiopian sheep quake and the Kentucky meat shower, one of the recent Luis episodes.
It's a good time.
It is a good time.
If you want to hear about meat falling from the sky, it's a good episode.
And find out what the mystery meat was.
Exactly.
Or was it even meat? Who knows?
Talked about too much mystery meat in this podcast, Kurt.
We've said too much.
All right, Kurt. Well, I have one more clip to show you, and this is actually from our most recent episode, The Stolen Prototype and the Demon Dog Possession, Kurt. You know, I think this next bit is, I just wanted to show how unserious we've become in the last trajectory of the last year we've been doing this podcast, Kurt. Because as we mentioned, when we first started this, we wanted to be serious. We wanted to be diligent with our research. We wanted to get deeper.
We cited sources.
I cited
sources. A source one time, and you made it a thing of it. It cost me my story. Never again.
And I made fun of you for citing sources, Kurt. So ever since, we've taken less and less seriously. And this is just an example of how, at this point in the game, Kurt, one thing, a single thing can derail a whole story and take us on a tangent that we really probably shouldn't have to keep the story on track. So here's the clip.
Now it's 2014 and it is time for science to try. Da, 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 da. Time for a scientific approach.
Woo.
Are you booing? You're booing science.
I said woohoo, Kurt.
Oh, boo. No, boo. Go back to the demon stuff. We like the demon possession better. Boo.
Boo.
Talk more about the thin place. Boo. Well, they like the older material. Anyway. So David Sands, he's a canine psychologist. He examines the bridge.
Canine psychologist? Like he's a dog?
You're telling me a canine did this psychology?
Oh, no way. It sucks being a dog psychologist going up to this bridge. You get just this urge to jump.
Canine psychology bridge examination is a bridge examining a canine who has a major in psychology.
Whoa.
Whoa. So out of that process, two conclusions are drawn.
Yes.
Okay, one, because dogs are not as tall as humans, and remember the thick tree line. How long have you known about this? You know what? The science, we give up on science. Back to the demon stuff. The science thing has not worked out.
You mentioned dog psychology, and I said, I'm done. you've lost me.
You weren't ready to move past the canine psychology.
No, I never will be now, Kurt. Come on.
Okay, dogs are not as tall as humans, and a well-established fact on this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say the only part of this podcast that ever actually feels like work is that sometimes we're like going back and forth off on a tangent and I'm like, I really want to like joke about this for like 10 more minutes, but we got to like continue with the story.
Yeah.
I remember, let's see, there were some others too. Your imaginary character who would attend the last party before Prohibition kicked in, Slant Butt Mejia. we wanted to derail and talk about Slant Butt Mejia, but we were forced to move on.
This podcast is mostly to entertain ourselves, Kurt, and we just give ourselves good situations and good circumstances to just make each other laugh. And I love that not only did I derail the conversation at the very beginning when you said canine psychology, you tried to get us back on track, and I said, no.
You derailed the derailment.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I mean, it's like Inception. We're like two layers deep on our tangents here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else? I just recently, because I was looking through clips, we were talking about the hypothetical bullfighting school for matadors and what the electives would be. Remember their PE was going to be running with the bulls and they'd have a like home ec, how to make sangria glass.
Yeah.
And we had to cut that conversation off as well. And we still went back to it like two more times in the podcast. So one thing you can always be sure you're going to get here is us talking a lot about how good the names are and a lot of tangents.
Again, we're not
historians.
We'll
never not have tangents. Well, we're not historians. We're just two idiots with microphones who like history.
Oh, man.
And on that note of two idiots with microphones, this last clip, I feel like, is a really good representation of what I talked about before with the Roman Lakeside Navy clip, that it feels more like just the two of us talking about history back in our living room in Chicago, because this is from our bonus episode. And I think this is a story maybe you had told me before. So this probably really was a conversation that we might have had in our living room. So I really love this clip. And Luis, maybe you'll have to give a little bit of an introduction here, because if you remember, this is the true story you're telling me about the chair that may or may not be used in the Vatican for a certain test for the Pope.
Right. Okay. So there's a supposed chair, Kurt, in the Vatican that is essentially just a chair, but with the seat cut out, or like a circle cutout, where allegedly the new Pope, the newly elected Pope, sits on that chair and cardinals are able to walk underneath it and see if indeed the Pope has testicles. And this will confirm the fact that the Pope is a man, unlike some other times when it got confused and a Pope was a woman for a brief period of time. So that's a chair that allegedly exists.
Well, the chair does exist. It's just its use is alleged.
Yeah, right.
It may be for some unknown, undetermined, never specified purpose that you would need a chair with a hole cut out in it.
Right. So
anyway, that being said, here's the clip.
Yeah, that's supposedly the chair, the sedia estercolaria, the chair to verify that the Pope indeed has testicles and that they hang well, which is a weird thing to add at the end. It's like, don't worry, this Pope has testicles and they're there.
They're making light of it.
And everyone responding, thank God.
Yeah. Okay, if they do use a chair, do you think they wipe it down after every Pope? Or is like the next Pope going to be sitting on that thinking like, I'm in like the sweat of like 12
Popes it's like mocha pots. It's like mocha coffee pots that you don't wash the coffee pot for years, and that makes the coffee taste better.
It's a
nice urban legend.
Of course.
Or you know how some urban legends say that tea kettles, you're not supposed to wash them, and eventually you're able to just put water in them and it will taste like tea. It's that. But for Popes.
The chair is marinated in the sweat and pubic hair of
hundreds.
Popes.
Imagine the cultural tradition occurred. It's hundreds.
Oh, I know.
Hundreds of years of papal testicles. And that's why we do this podcast, Kurt.
That's what it's all for.
You know what, Kurt? And you know what makes me very happy about that clip you just showed? I think that was the episode we recorded together, you and me.
It was. It was.
Yeah, you can really tell that it seems like we're just hanging out, talking about just things to make each other laugh. So it's nice.
Just getting the band back together to go stab the Spanish in the back, you know?
Yeah, you know, I don't see you for close to a year, a little over a year, and then we got together just to talk about Pope balls.
Yeah, so that was from our bonus episode, True Tales, Papal Balls, and Pepsi Warships.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to hear the other true story in that, it's about how Pepsi at one point in time had the world's sixth largest navy. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
And also that's what it's all about, Pepsi Warships and papal testicles, allegedly on chairs. All that to say, Luis, I have really loved doing this with you for a year. This was an idea that I kind of remember. I mean, it was tricky to get this executed because you were making a big move. And, you know, both of us were graduating, so we weren't sure how free our schedules were going to be. But I'm really glad that we did decide to go forward with this idea because, I mean, I love doing this. And also, I love getting to see you and spend some time with you and talk about everything from foreskins to typhoid to Pepsi to Dusko Popoff.
Kurt is just afraid to say he loves me, but I know that's coming off. In the way.
Big kiss for my boy, Luis Mejia. Smooch.
Yes, Kurt, I feel very much the same. And like we mentioned, this is a little bit difficult for us being in two different countries, but this is an opportunity to at least share a little bit of the laughs that we can constantly have together with the rest of the world. So thank you for joining along in this little journey we've established. And hopefully it goes for longer. If it dies tomorrow, well, we had a good year at least.
That's true. It was a good run while it lasted, you know?
Yeah.
There was, it was, the smoke and mirrors were fun while we had them.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you very much for listening to this. Hopefully you enjoy. Check back the episodes you don't remember, and we'll give them a new listen. See if you can tell how we've matured through the year.
Or not. or lack thereof.
Exactly. Exactly. Shoot us a message if you'd like. We're on social media, on Twitter at UnbelievablePC. We're also on Instagram at UnbelievablePod. Find us where you find your podcast. Review us where you review your podcast. And I don't know, send me a cute love letter someday. I'm severely lacking.
Ooh, send Luis a big kiss. He loves those.
Directly in the mail. Express post.
Big hug, big kiss. Directly in the mail.
All right. Thanks, guys, for a year. We'll see you next one, I guess.
Bye, everyone. And, you know, if you have an idea, go start a podcast with your idiot friend.
Yeah.
Who knows? Might work.
Who knows?